So the reading today is from John 8, verses 12 to 20. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered them and said, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come.
Thank you, Graham, for that reading. And as we continue looking at the claims of Jesus, Jesus in his own words, these are the claims to his divinity, his deity, and of course his authority and his sovereignty, as we see in the book of John. Last week we talked about his claim saying, I am the bread of life. And we prayed for people who are physically hungry all across the world and even in this country. It's one of those kind of shocks. If you like me using that word, when I came in here, I thought everyone wouldn't need to use the food bank. And it was a shocker to me when I found that there are still people who depend on the food bank. And we see it day by day as I used to serve and volunteer at a food bank. And yeah, saw firsthand how people struggle. But I thought, in Britain, of all people, we shouldn't have such. But we'll keep praying for ourselves, praying for people all across the world, but especially praying for people who need spiritual food, because Jesus is the bread of life. There are people today who feed themselves with all sorts of teachings and ideologies and everything, but Jesus remains what we need if we must have life. And I also know that there are people, you know, when we know that basically people need food for nourishment, but I know because of what we've gone through, people went through a lot of things during the COVID pandemic, and even every time, maybe depression and anxiety and all sorts of stress and everything. And you see people today getting addicted to food and eating more than they should have had. But one thing I've always said is that there are times we need to kind of do spiritual warfare, all right? I know, yes, there are some times that people will have, maybe hallucinations and they hear voices and I've prayed with people who go through all sorts of things. And I have also had some times I have to deal with some issues. But it's not all of them that are just ordinary. There are some times we set ourselves time to do spiritual warfare and command and demand that every power of hell will be obedient to the word of God, to the word of Jesus Christ. So, spiritual warfare for me is still is still real. Anyway, this morning, I'd like us to go ahead and look at the second claim of Jesus Christ in the book of John. I am the light of the world. And you remember I said when Jesus lays claim to these I am sayings, he is simply proclaiming, I am and I will always be, and I am the one that was. So he is everlasting. He is from age to age. And I have noticed that almost all of these I am sayings follows a certain miracle or a certain, powerful thing done by Jesus Christ. And they contribute to explain each other, the miracle and the I am claim. The I am claim and the miracle, they contribute to explain one another. And when we put them on the same table, we'll get understand what Jesus says after doing a miracle. I'd like to tell you a little story that relates to light before I go on, if you don't mind. Have you got a minute? All right, I'll tell you anyway. I think I was maybe 5 or 6 when energy came into my community for the first time. I must have been 5 or 6. But I still remember. I don't know why I still remember it vividly. It happened. And that was the first time. First of all, leading up to that, they laid all the cables, and it took some months for them to prepare. And on the day that the energy company will switch on, people were expectant. We didn't know what was it? Light bulb? What did they say it was? All right. And when it got switched on, you see rejoicing in the village. You see people running around and, oh, what is that? Is that a bulb? Is that a light? What is it called? And you see people were kind of, and I remember someone even died out of that excitement and joy and rejoicing, and they died. And anyway, with that, development began to kind of arrive. Things began to happen, and life became a little bit easier for people, and people got used to the development, and some industries came around, and things began to happen. But when I was growing up, before then, I was always afraid of the dark. I must confess here. I don't know, is it nyctophobia? I don't know what is it called, right? Yeah? Is that? Yeah, I was always afraid of the dark. I don't know if anyone could relate with that. So when I got sent on an errand in the village, you hear me singing, and you think, oh, he's a brave boy. No, I was afraid. I was just singing because I was afraid. But in my late teens, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. So much like the rejoicing, the development, the change of things that happened in my village, in here, things began to change. I was no more afraid of the dark. I didn't know where it went to. I was suddenly became bold. I could, walk on in the village, and I could go alone to the stream at midnight to fetch water or to go do whatever I'm asked to do, because the light of Jesus came in here. And so I remembered when we began to, read and talk about the light of the world, Jesus Christ, he is in here. And the moment he arrived in my life, there was a change in me. And that's what I am praying today. And that's what I will invite us to do, the close of service, for us to, there are some writing materials there and some post-it notes. Don't think about someone who will need to pray for that they will encounter the light of Jesus Christ. We've been praying for ourselves. We've been praying for, I appreciate that. But let's think about someone. You don't have to. You don't have to. But if you want to do that towards the end of the service, maybe a neighbor, a co-worker, or someone you've been praying for, And that, so we pray and post them there. And on Friday during the prayer meeting, I'll bring them out and then we'll mention them by name. Well, like I said, you don't have to, but if you want, you can, you know, put them there, and we will do that this week. I am the light of the world. Now, looking at verse 12, he says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Do you want to read that with me? All right? The NIV one, please. Let's go. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world.
Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
Yes. I just wanted to pay attention to the ones I've underlined, the words and the phrases that I have underlined. And I have a reason for that, and I'll lead us through. Jesus says, again, you know, the Bible says, again, Jesus spoke to them, again. So I'll just look at these six things, and then we'll look at the light of life. Again, I am the light. Whoever will never walk in darkness. Jesus began again to speak to them. And remember, before then, he had already spoken to them, the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law, about the lady that was caught in adultery. So that was the first time he spoke to them. And this is the second time he's speaking to them on this occasion. Again, he spoke to them again. The first time, he had to reprimand them because of their hypocrisy, right? And while Graham was reading that, he came to a point, they said to him, who are you? What do you think about yourself? And Jesus said to them, well, I'm not judging like you do. I don't even judge anyone. But if I have to judge people, my judgment is right. The word judge there is to condemn, not just to kind of correct someone, but to condemn. You know, there are people today who look at themselves as holier than thou, and, you know, they are above the law, and, you know, they look at others as not so good. That was what they were up to. That was their character. They were looking at the lady as, you know, a sinful woman. We don't have any sin. We are up there. Jesus said, well, I don't judge like you because your judgment is not right. You are hypocrites. You are hypocrites. So Jesus Christ said to them again after saying to them. Anyway, the Levitical law provides that the man and the woman should be stoned. And if they claim really that they caught her in the very act, red-handed, where is the man? You caught someone red-handed? Was she doing the thing alone? No, there were two. Well, perhaps they were all men, maybe, or they were holier than thou. They just wanted to kind of get Jesus. And I was thinking, this is not what the scripture said, but I was thinking, perhaps the man was also among them, who was also in the very act. But he connived with his, you know, brothers to kind of condemn the lady. Maybe they have been thinking about it for a while. All right, we're going to do something to her. We're going to use her as a test to test what Jesus will say. But anyway, Jesus, who is all in all, remember, he is the I am. He knows us all. He knows what we are having in mind. He knows what we want to do. And Jesus said, all right, I'm going to play it here. I'm not going to condemn her. I'm not going to condone her. But I'm going to do something. I'm playing with your intelligence. All right. You want us to stone her? Yes, we're going to do that. But if anyone who has no sin should begin the stoning, you know, just be the first to cast the stone. And Jesus stooped down and was writing. And again, this is not what the scripture said, but I think Jesus was writing, I think on 20th December, you did the same thing. He mentioned their names. He wrote their names on the floor. And I think last year I saw you doing the same thing. I maybe he was writing their names and writing their faults and their sins and everything. I'm beginning from the elders. They dropped their stones and went away. I always joke with this, saying, well, the older you are, the more sins you commit. So from the elders, well, that's just kidding. But they began to drop their stones and you know, go away. And when Jesus stood up, the lady was there alone. Has no one condemned you? No, sir. They have not. They've all gone. All right, neither have I condemned you. Go and sin no more. I think that's the point. That's the point. It's not about the sin. It's about the forgiveness. It's about what happens after someone has made any mistake. We cannot. We are still human. We can make mistakes. But what do we do when we find ourselves doing the wrong thing? Jesus did not condemn her. Jesus brought the light. And I believe light is forgiveness, and forgiveness is light. Darkness is unforgiveness, and unforgiveness is dark. So Jesus is light. I am the light of the world. I am forgiveness, and I also forgive people. I don't judge people. I bring the light of righteousness, and it will shine in their darkness. It was just for me to help them to go away from darkness. I don't come to kind of add more trouble to their sorrows, but I've come that they will see the light of the gospel, the light of forgiveness, the light of new life. And that was what Jesus, you know, told them. And they all went away because they knew they were all living in one sin or the other, and they were not ready to make a change. You remember the difference between Judas and Peter? They all did the same, you know, they fumbled, but the difference was that Peter came to his senses and, you know, asked for forgiveness. But Judas didn't want to do that. He wanted to exonerate himself, and he took his own life. So Jesus said, I am. Calling them back again. The one speaking to you is not ordinary. I am that one. That is, I have the right to forgive. I have the power to forgive. I alone can forgive. So if I'm speaking to you about this lady, I'm not just talking as the carpenter's son. I am now speaking as the I am. The great I am, the Yahweh, the beginning and the end. And what I am? The light. When light comes, darkness disappears. When light comes, we can see the brightness of the day. When light came to my village, everywhere was lighted up, people became happy. Developments came along. When light came, things began to happen. Difference in the life of the people. Jesus said to them, I am the light of the world. And this passage began by saying early in the morning in verse 2, he came again into the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Why is that important to me? Well, they said, you speak for yourself. What do you think about yourself? And I was reading this, and I asked myself, what happens in the morning? The sun comes out, and the sun doesn't need any announcement. You don't need the sun going around saying, hey, I am the sun. Its presence makes the difference. And so I believe when Jesus says, I am, he called them back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. They knew the scriptures, right? He called them back saying, I am the light. And you are the one groping in darkness, as the Bible said in Isaiah 9, 2. The people grew up in darkness, walking in darkness. They have seen a great light. He is the light. And they were the ones walking in darkness, darkness of unforgiveness, darkness of prejudice, darkness of condemnation, darkness of judging others. But I am the one that I don't need any announcement. I don't need to speak for myself. I don't need to prove anything to you. My presence proves it, you know, because I am that one that was in the beginning. The light of the world. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. And I've discovered that light means, you know, a few things in the Aramaic language. And I've listed them there. When Jesus arrives, he brings enlightenment and revelation. So, when light brings that revelation into the hearts of people, like it happened to me in my late teens, I believe I'll be able to understand the scriptures. I don't know about you, but there are some times when I read the Bible, they will jump out at me as if I've not read them before. I believe it's happened to you before. And that's the time that the light comes, the revelation comes, the rhema comes. And sometimes God gives you these words, probably you've been praying about something, about an issue, about something, you know what I mean. But sometimes they jump out at you, and that's the light of the word of God coming to you. And Jesus also is the light, the presence of God. And when we commit our lives to Christ, we carry the presence of God with us. He is with us. He goes before us. He goes behind us. He goes wherever we are. And light also is a truth of God's word. Because when God's word hits someone, it brings a change. I know someone who was hooked on something, and they were for a long time. But one morning during Bible study, they kind of made a little discovery. Well, what I'm doing is not right. I think it's not in keeping with being a Christian. And it jumped out at him, and the light of God's word hit him, and he made a decision that day. All right, from today, I'm not going to go this route again. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to do this something differently in my life. And also life eternal. Jesus is the light, and the light is eternal life. When we have Jesus, we have eternal life. And when we receive Jesus in our hearts, the seed of God comes in us, and God does his works in our lives. Whoever, it's an open invitation. And John 3:16, we all know, is the most popular verse of the scripture. Whoever. And Jesus has come for everyone. Whoever. They might be African, they might be, you know, European, male, female, whatever they are, whoever. His hands are open to the lady, to the Pharisees, to everyone. Whoever comes to me, he says, I will not cast them out. Whoever follows me. So it's an invitation to all ethnicities, to all ages, to all professions, to all colors, whatever creed that we have, we are invited to follow Jesus, to believe in him, to trust him. And he goes on to say, whoever believes in me will never, shall not. And Bible scholars tell us that this is a double negative, which means they will never sin. And you remember in 1 John 3, verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. We need to read a little further with, you know, recent translations to really understand that. It doesn't mean the person will not sin, but it means that they would not be in the habit of sinning. Yes, we are still human, right? But because the seed of God is in us, does not sin mean, does not make a habit, a practice, does not live in sin. It doesn't mean he will not sin or she will not sin at all. But because of the seed of God in us, we will not go ahead, you know, doing it as part of what we, you know, part of our lives. We might, you know, sleep. We might say something, catch ourselves saying things that are not right, or even thinking things that are not right. But the difference, like I said again, is in the repentance. And I believe that the lady that the court, she really repented. I believe she repented, and Jesus forgave her. And let's believe that she went on and never did the same again. And that's what the Bible says. And so it's a double negative, meaning whoever follows me, whoever makes a commitment to me, will not now live in habitual sin. Now, if you read this in the Living Translation, I'll read it for us. It says, the person who has been born into God's family does not make a practice of sinning, because now God's life is in him, so he can't keep on sinning. For this new life has been born in him and controls him. He has been born again. So if we are born again, which simply means born from above, if we receive the seed of God, as they say, Zoe in us, that means that we will not continue to make a practice of sin. And also he says we will not walk in darkness. You remember Psalm 119, verse 115, the world is a lamp to my feet and a light to my heart. So walking in darkness is being pushed by darkness. Not just literally walking in darkness, but being controlled by darkness. Having a different thing controlling me, telling me what to do. But if anyone follows Jesus, they will not be controlled by darkness. They will not be pushed by darkness. Rather, they will be controlled by the word of God. They will be driven by the word of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And he goes on to say that they will have the light of life. That just means the life-giving light. The light of life means what I have now, I'm able to replicate and pass it on to others. And that's the life-giving light. So if we receive Christ and if we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, we will not walk in sin, but we will have the ability to give light to other people. And how do we do that? We can do that beginning with our knees, praying for someone. I remember my mom telling me that she took years to pray for me. And I'm sure someone might have the same story here. Before you came to the Lord, someone spent time, years, praying for you. And sometimes when you pray for someone to find Jesus, to commit their life to Christ, don't get discouraged when you do so. Because you are sowing a seed. You are kind of, you know, praying into their future. It might be our children, it might be our grandchildren, our neighbor, our co-workers, for the light of Jesus to come in their hearts. And sometimes we share the word with them and they don't make any commitment. Don't give up, because these are seeds that will plant in them, plant for them. Keep on praying for them, because we have the ability to give the life of Jesus through our knees, on our knees, sharing with them, being kind to them. There are some people that will make that commitment when we don't even spend time with them on the world, but when we spend time being kind to them, when we spend time looking after them, we spend time not even sharing the word, but showing them that we care, showing them that the church is not all about your pocket, it's not all about coming, you know, for you coming into the church, but for you to have a new life, have a better life, you know, for it to go well with you. And when someone comes to trust me that I mean well for him, it goes a long way to making the miracle in them. You know, some people are suspicious of the church today. They think we've got an agenda for wanting them to come into the church. They think we have something else, you know, in our minds. But when they look beyond that, see our kindness, how we look after them, you know, how we care for them, it softens their hearts and shines the light in them. But Jesus has called us. He is the light of the world. And I pray that in this day and age, when there is darkness, not just literally, but I tell you, there is darkness in our world today. Especially where you think it's light, where you think there is enlightenment, when you speak to people today, you can wonder, what are they doing? But there is the plan of the enemy to let people be driven into darkness of the world. To let, with all those things, I know someone told me sometime when I was beginning a ministry, he says, one of the ways for the devil to confuse you, a man of vision, a woman of vision, is to give you several things at the same time so that you will be confused. Some people today, they've been fed with this, especially the age of information, superhighway, and I pity children. You know, sometimes when I you know, talk with my kids, and they will say to me, "Dad, you are old man." I said, "Old? At my age?" I get it. You know, at some point I was like, but now I say, "Yeah, I'm old man, yeah." And when I, for example, this week when I arrived, they will say to me, "Welcome, old man." Yes, yes, young lady. Yeah, I am old, an old man. But what I'm saying is that they are exposed to several things that I wasn't exposed to while I was growing up. At least where I grew up, right? It's different. I didn't grow up here, right? Where I grew up. But today, they have several distractions, several ideologies, you know, several teachings coming at the same time. We live in an age that is confused. Darkness is supposed to be enlightened, but darkness. Do you know that social media was supposed to bring people together? But it has torn people apart. It has made people, I might be in the same room with you, but we are miles away. We are miles away, chatting to people who are thousands of miles away, who never means well to me. I don't know, even know them. Sometimes when I walk into my children's, I say, put it down. Discuss, you know, have a chat with yourselves. Put it down. Those who are chatting to, they don't know you. They don't even want to know you. They don't care about you. Well, I'm not being old school, but there are some times we need to just put those things aside and just chat to someone before me. Chat to them, right? What I'm saying is that darkness is all over the place. We pray that Jesus will bring his light. And I have been praying. And the Lord, I close with this. The Lord said to me, and in April 2022, I believe it was last year, the Lord said to me, "I am raising a revival generation." And I heard it clearly. I don't know if you've heard of a person, I think it was in the 19th century or early 20th century, called Smith Wigglesworth. He was mightily used of God, I think in Bristol or somewhere. I'm not very sure now. But I heard it anyway because I've been reading a book called God's Generals. I don't know if anyone has read that book, God's Generals, by Robert Sladen. Very, very powerful. Talking about revivals, you know, talking about the revival in Wales that came along, and obviously with John Wesley and people that really did mighty things. And I remember praying, I said, God, I just want you to use me as one of those people that will bring your revival. And I heard God's word say to me, I am raising a revival generation, those who will not be ashamed of my word, those who will bring my light to this generation. And I jumped up and I said, yes, Lord, I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them that will bring your light. And I've been chatting to people all across this country who have heard similar things, you know, in different ways, which says to me that something is about to happen. It's even already happening. The revival is coming. God is moving because we need it. We need it these days. We need it seriously. We are no more a Christian nation, people. Sorry if I'm the one saying it, but this is what I've seen. We are no more a Christian nation. A lot of things coming from across the pond are trying to take over our children, trying to take over the young generation. And that's the way I would say, you know, I won't say more than that, but the church should arise. The church should really be serious with the gospel. The church should think about those whom the Lord used in this nation. I am standing today as a Christian because someone came from England and brought the gospel to my part of the world. That's why I became a Christian. Yeah? Let not their labors be in vain. Let's bring our generation back. But I celebrate all of us, I must say, for all that we've done in this church and in this nation, even though we are not as strong as we used to be, but it's not in vain. What we have done before is not in vain. The Lord knows about them. And the Lord will raise people before us. Let's keep praying for them. There are people coming forth. Let's pray for them. That the Lord will use both ourselves and them to bring the light of Jesus. Let's pray now. I am the light of the world. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that the light of your gospel will shine in our generation, in the hearts of people, especially the young generation. The light of your gospel, Jesus, shine across, up and down our country, on our streets, Lord. Shine in the hearts of people. Draw us all to you, Lord Jesus, that we might receive the enlightenment, the revelation, the presence of God, the Rhema word of God. Lord, we pray, especially for those who don't know you yet, that you will use us, because you said if anyone follows you, we will not walk in darkness, but we will have the life-giving light. Help us, Lord, to share this life-giving light with others, with what we say, how we do, what we do through our relationship with people, those who we meet on the streets, at the grocery shop, those who we chat to, our neighborhood. Lord, we pray that the light of your gospel will shine in the hearts of people. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because today we remember your word. I am the light of the world. Yes, Lord, we speak against every darkness, every form of darkness in the hearts of people. We speak against them right now. Every power holding people down blinding them to your gospel. We speak against those powers now. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we speak against those powers. There are some powers working against the gospel in our neighborhood. But Lord, we come to you. We believe you that the power belongs to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your forgiveness. Just as that lady was forgiven by you, Lord Jesus, there are some things we regret about our lives that we have said or we've done in the past. But we thank you because you don't judge as the people judge. You don't condemn, but you beam your light of forgiveness in us. Thank you for forgiving us, Lord, and for giving us the seed of the gospel in us so that we will not make a practice of sin, but we will be the ones distributing your light to people. We pray, Lord, that you will use us. We make ourselves available to you to use us. And finally, Lord, for anyone we think about today, as we pray for them and as we put down their names or whatever to describe them, we believe that we will go ahead to pray for them and that your light will shine and finally overcome the darkness in their hearts. Lord, we thank you for the week ahead of us. And we thank you. We've prayed for the children going to take their exams this week, and we prayed for the invigilators and the lecturers and teachers. We pray that you will be with all of them, Lord. We pray for the travelers of the day, those who have got important things to do this week. Some of them will be flying, some of us might be driving and going on the bus. We pray for your protection, Lord, and that your light will shine in our lives, Lord. We pray, oh Lord, for those of us who are going through some things, Lord, at this moment. We know you are the only one that can see us through in any situation that we find ourselves in. Lord, we ask that your deliverance will come to us, Lord, and that the glory will be for you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For we know you've always heard us. You've always answered us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.